You're listening to Agriculture Today.
A longer-term shift continues to unfold as consumers seek more protein wherever they can get it.
Ben Lane, dairy specialist with Terrain.
Production of high-protein whey cannot keep up with the boom in demand. A side effect of the scramble for protein has been tight supplies of non-fat dry milk that sent those prices higher than anticipated levels, surpassing $2.20 per pound on the CME spot market in April and May. Those 220-plus values appear to have been the peak. Non-fat dry milk prices have been falling rapidly in early June, seeking a new equilibrium. The high prices had become dramatically out of line with global prices, which isn't sustainable long-term. Skyrocketing powder prices and higher milk production growth ultimately drove more milk into dryers in 2026, pushing combined non-fat dry milk and skim milk powder production up 6% year-over-year through April. Butter production is up 6% through April as well, and cheese is up 3%. All this growth in product output is supported by continued growth in cow numbers and milk production, up 3% through April. Exports continue to be a critical underpinning of price support in the U.S. dairy markets. April data show a continuation of exceptionally strong exports of butter and cheese. As a result, at the component level, export growth of milk fat, in all products to all destinations, is surging, up almost 40% year-over-year in April, and up 80% compared with April 2024. Skim solids exports, meanwhile, were up a respectable 15% year-over-year in April, but are still similar to where they had been 2 years ago, up 3% from April 2024. Protein prices have moved into the starring role on milk checks, but this is still more related to weak butter prices than the strong protein demand. Non-fat dry milk and whey have been the commodities that have seen prices climb because of strong protein demand from consumers, but neither of these commodities impacts the protein component value in federal order calculations. Second quarter milk prices were swept away in excitement around sky-high non-fat dry milk prices. This lifted Class 4 milk prices substantially higher than expected. Heading into the third quarter, prices are normalizing to the reality that we are making plenty of milk and experiencing no shortage of the core commodities. The strong spike in Class 4 prices during Q2 is leading to a downward revision to my previous second-half projection, now $17.50 per hundredweight. Second half average Class 3 milk prices are currently projected to be $17.25 per hundredweight. Continued export strength will be important support for both prices. Feed prices remain favorable, and many operations have high levels of on-farm storage. Combined with ongoing strong beef revenues, margins should remain healthy. The calculated milk feed margin used for dairy margin coverage insurance is projected to remain above the maximum insurable level of $9 for the remainder of the year.
You know, farmers may soon have a clearer way to turn conservation practices into biofuel market premiums. Under a new USDA regenerative feedstock rule, USDA says final rule connects corn, beans, sorghum, spring canola to biofuel markets through field-level carbon intensity scoring, traceability, record-keeping, auditing, and verification standards. Agency also updating its feedstock carbon intensity calculator. Producers can use it to quantify practices like cover crops, improve nutrient management, no-till, and reduce tillage when marketing eligible feedstocks. Irrigated farmland remains more valuable than dry land, but groundwater depletion could test how long that premium holds across the high plains. The premium has actually grown faster during droughts, reflecting the value of secure water access when moisture is scarce. It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Generally seen a shift of money flow out of the commodities or a negative money flow toward the commodities during the past month. And that's been indicative of basic change in philosophy of the markets. We had previously seen the food and energy-based commodities seeing some pretty good strength while the war with Iran was really heating up. But now the assumption of the marketplace is that all is going to be well and that we're going to see commerce flow normally through the Strait of Hormuz, allowing the world economy to restore health once again and all to be well.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX.
They're really kind of trying to poke the bear here a little bit. The Revolutionary Guard understands that President Trump really wants to see low gas prices ahead of the midterm elections. The Revolutionary Guard watched closely as the Senate narrowly missed passing a resolution that would have called on the president to withdraw troops from the region around Iran. So they see an opportunity that if they can swing the political momentum against President Trump and he would lose Congress, both houses of Congress, in November, that his power could be curtailed and that they could require him to withdraw troops, and they would come out, in their view, stronger, having stood up to the United States of America and won in their eyes. And I mean, after all, they don't care if their country gets bombed so much as long as they survive. Their method of war is kind of a guerrilla warfare type through their proxy groups. And so they just want to continue to survive for another day. And this would allow them to do that. So if all goes well and gas prices come down, that might improve President Trump's hopes of holding on to Congress in the midterm elections. However, if gas prices go back up, that could hurt them. So they're going to continue to poke the bear in my view. And that's why I've been skeptical that we'll see a return of commerce to normal levels as the markets have been pricing in. At that point, it's Midwest weather. Are we going to have favorable weather or not? And you can find models that are pointing in both directions. You can find models that support a high pressure ridge setting up in the southern plains and then expanding north through the northern plains and east and then across the Midwest as summer progresses. And you can find those who say, no, El Nino is going to be the predominant factor and going to bring regular showers and moderate temperatures across the Midwest supporting good yields. And frankly, if you look at the analog years, you look at 1997, 2015, and other years that had strong El Ninos, you find not every year with an El Nino has a good year. So you can't rule out the risk of high pressure dome in the Midwest, but the predominant pattern is favorable weather for the Midwest. So how we get set up on these weather patterns as we turn the calendar to July and pollination is going to be a key factor. Based on planting dates and the current forecast going forward, Commodity Weather Group is forecasting that the bulk of the corn crop is going to pollinate in the Midwest basically between July 10 and July 30. So that three-week period there, the last 3 weeks of July is when the bulk of the crop will pollinate, can have a big negative impact on pollination then. But on the other hand, even if it's dry, if the temperatures are moderate, you can do well. These crops can do well. And so that is the default thinking right now of the marketplace. That's one another reason why we're seeing pressure in the grain and oilseed markets right now. It's that seasonal factor in the absence of any obvious weather threat.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
America welcomes its partners, and we are stronger because of them. But our partnership now carries expectations and, in some instances, non-negotiable obligations.
Speaking recently at the New York Economic Club, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
Of course, we will continue to distinguish legitimate regulation from discrimination. Every sovereign nation has the right to regulate in ways that serve its own public interest. The United States respects that responsibility, and the United States possesses many tools at its disposal to remedy practices that distort trade and undermine reciprocity. We will always seek to use those tools judiciously, but we will never hesitate to use them decisively. America will write the rules of the next economy. Of course, unlike much of the last century, the next era of domestic competition will not be confined to the movement of goods across oceans and ports. It will be shaped by the platforms, systems, and protocols through which commerce flows in the 21st century. In each of these domains, standards become strategy. For the nation that fails to help write the rules of the next economy will sooner or later answer to those that did. If authoritarian or mercantilist systems write those standards for their own advantage, the global economy will become more coercive and less favorable to American interests. If America and our partners set open, secure, market-based standards, then the 21st century will tilt toward freedom and prosperity by rewarding innovation, protecting intellectual property, and ensuring that competition is not distorted by discrimination. That is the system America should champion, and it is the system that our partners have every reason to build together with us. I think, for example, of the new frontiers in financial technologies, digital assets, stable coins, tokenization, and new payment systems will help to shape the future of money. The United States should not consign itself to the sidelines while that future is built elsewhere. We should support innovation that strengthens the dollar, improves efficiency, expands access, and preserves the integrity of the financial system. And we should insist that new technology meet our standards for transparency, security, consumer protection, and law enforcement access. The fourth principle is that financial leadership is a central instrument of statecraft. And as Treasury Secretary, I see its workings every day. There is nothing accidental about the dollar's place in the world. Its broad usage reflects the depth of our markets, the strength of our rule of law, the credibility of our institutions, and the scale of our economy. Of course, that leadership role bestows enormous advantages, among them lower borrowing costs, deeper capital markets, enhanced sanctions capabilities, and great influence across the global system. But it also imposes obligations that we cannot ignore. Sanctions evasion, terrorist finance, proliferation finance, cybercrime, narcotics trafficking, and corruption all exploit weaknesses in the financial system. Treasury's job is to protect the integrity of the financial system by rooting out these abuses and to deploy this power with discipline. Sanctions must be targeted, enforceable, and connected to strategy. They must be paired with diplomacy, compliance, intelligence, and coordination with our partners. The fifth and most important principle is that economic statecraft, first and foremost, must serve the American people.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
China has promised to buy 25 million metric tons of soybeans in the upcoming marketing year. If they're going to do that, you would expect them to start buying now. And in fact, USDA did confirm on Thursday that in the last week, and this is largely reported, that they had purchased 200,000 metric tons, about 7.3 million bushels of U.S. soybeans for delivery in the next marketing year. It starts September 1.
Arlen Suderman with StoneX.
That's the beginning. That's just it. That's 200,000 tons out of 25 million metric tons promised. I'm skeptical they're going to buy 25 million metric tons, but what if they do? USDA seemed to have factored into its balance sheet that they'll buy about 15 million metric tons in the next marketing year. Our sources on the ground in China are telling us about rumors, chatter in the cash market. They're unconfirmed that China intends to buy, this government purchases 15 million metric tons, 15 million metric tons by the end of the calendar year as a sign of good faith and intent to buy the full 25 million metric tons. And that would kind of fit with USDA's balance sheet. So that's neither bullish nor bearish. That's already basically factored into the market. Will they buy the additional 10 million metric tons? Maybe they will. I remain skeptical because once you get past the first of the year, then China's ports start to clog up with ships full of Brazilian soybeans. And so then that becomes much more of a problem to import U.S. soybeans as we get into the next calendar year. Still could do so, but it would have a dramatic impact on the market because, frankly, we don't have enough soybeans to sell them 25 million metric tons in the next marketing year because of our strong biofuel program that we have. And second of all, with Brazilian beans being cheaper, landed at the port of China, they would have to be bought by state buyers. And whatever state crushers couldn't utilize would have to go into the reserve, which we believe to be full. So they'd have to be then older beans displaced, pushed out onto the market at a price cheaper than what Brazilian beans could be in. That would cause a dramatic impact on the global market or reshuffling supplies. Brazilian basis would have to break much lower in order to attract non-China customers in the United States to Brazil, and U.S. basis go up in order to try to ration that demand and send those non-China customers to Brazil while attracting Brazilian soybeans to be imported into the U.S. Southeast. So a lot of things would happen if that were to be the case. Phase one trade agreement, China abided by it by about 60% level. Last fall's agreement that they'd buy 12 million metric tons in the current marketing year, they kept. So we have to respect that possibility. And of course, as I mentioned, a couple of days ago, the other possibility is with Iran, where President Trump says they can have access to their frozen assets if they use those assets to purchase U.S. commodities, which they purchased 18 million metric tons of corn, soybeans, and wheat in calendar year 2025. So that's a significant potential, especially if it came on top of China living up to its commitment. And I didn't mention the $17 billion worth of non-soybean purchases that China committed to back in May as well for the next marketing year. So the potential's there for a lot of demand. I remain skeptical that we'll see all that demand, but what if we do? That would have a dramatic impact on the balance sheets. On the other hand, if we don't, then that is more of a bearish effect. That's going to be more of a long-term picture. We won't know for many months whether China, how much China is going to comply with what it committed to do.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The purpose of American economic statecraft is to connect national power with household prosperity.
Speaking recently at the New York Economic Club, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
We need an economy in which working families are not merely consumers of what the world produces, but participants in what America builds. An economy in which no community is asked to accept permanent decline as the cost of global efficiency. An economy in which the gains of national strength are broadly shared beyond the boardrooms and trading floors to families and communities who sustain it. America's competitive advantage has never been confined to the bounty of our natural resources or the depth of our capital markets. It has always resided in the character and the capacity of our people, the entrepreneur with the temerity to turn an idea into an enterprise, the worker with the ability to master new trades and new technologies that didn't exist a decade ago, and the institutions that allow their freedom and competence to flourish. The purpose of economic statecraft is to restore that competence. It is to affirm to the American people that our openness and strength can go together, that partnership abroad can reinforce prosperity at home, that we can retain the dynamic markets while defending the foundations of our national interest, that America can welcome investment and trade without accepting dependency or decline. So what should the world expect from the United States? Our partners should expect clarity. They should expect a nation committed to strong alliances and productive economic relationship. A nation that welcomes fair competition, rewards investment, and believes in open commerce. But they should also expect a nation that is now more aware of its interests and more prepared to protect them. A nation that insists on reciprocity, that shields its firm from discriminatory treatment, secures its critical supply chains, enforces sanctions, and combats illicit finance. A United States, in short, that will not allow economic policy to grow detached from national strategy. Our adversaries, meanwhile, should expect resolve. Attempts to weaponize supply chains, steal technology, evade sanctions, manipulate markets, or coerce our partners will not go unanswered. We will build resilience before crises occur. We will work with partners whenever possible, and we will act whenever necessary. Finally, the American people should expect that the Trump administration will continue to put their security and prosperity first. They should expect policy that rewards work, investment, production, and innovation. Leadership that understands how productive capacity is power. An economy whose success is measured not merely by what it produces, but by whom it lifts. These are not new ambitions. Indeed, they're among the most abiding ones we hold. So as we approach a great national milestone, we would do well to remember that our founders left us more than a republic. They bequeathed a roadmap powerful enough to sustain it for 2.5 centuries. Of course, our founders scarcely could have foreseen the world we inhabit today, the industries we have built, the technologies we have invented, the prosperity we have created, or the power that we have come to attain. But what they did understand was something far more enduring, that the fortunes of a nation are shaped by the energy of its people. That great insight has been the source of America's strength since its founding. It's what transformed a small republic on the edge of a continent into the most prosperous nation over the long sweep of human civilization.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We're in the middle of a number of investigations under Section 301 that is, you know, doing investigations that are meant broadly to address unfair trade practices, however those might be defined.
Former chief ag trade negotiator in the Obama administration, Darcy Vetter.
And then you're also seeing an increasing use of anti-dumping and countervailing duty investigations. And I think while those have to be initiated by industry, I think there is a signal that politically there's much more openness to trade restrictions on products. But there's also, I think, a desire from industry in this time of real uncertainty about what trade will look like to perhaps use those tools to try and provide some, you know, certainty or advantage where they can. So that's sort of on one side are these executive authorities that are meant to address a temporary point in time, right? A particular action or a particular imbalance that they want to see corrected, a threat to national security or something. And I think, you know, that can be attractive when you are competing in a hard way. So I think there's, on the one side, those kinds of mechanisms. And while those mechanisms are meant to be temporary or to solve that certain imbalance, what we know is that they're quite sticky. You saw Section 301 tariffs on a lot of products from China. They did not go away in the Biden administration. I think once you have tariffs in place, it's very easy for those protected by them to get used to them and continue to advocate for their use. You mentioned already the tomato suspension agreement, right? That arose from a case that is decades old, and that suspension agreement or the limitations on that trade, the conditions have stayed in place for a very long time. While the agreement itself is no longer in place, the original sort of duties assessed from the case way back when are in place. So there are different types of tools, but they can have significant impact. Amending a trade agreement is something else altogether. And typically, the purpose of a trade agreement has been to provide long-term certainty and, again, preferential access to those countries that were willing to also make a lot of other commitments about how we address sanitary and phytosanitary issues together, about transparency in rulemaking, you know, really changing the way that we do business with each other overall, and more certain sort of tariff access and consistent terms of trade become part of that package. And so, you know, calling for permanent changes, I think, in those terms of trade to address what may be a temporary irritant is, you know, it's interesting to me that it may not be that the tool fits the problem. So I found it very interesting when the USTR opened for comment, you know, issues that people wanted to raise around the USMCA review. And a number of ag producers, including some of those from the Southeast, made comments to say, you know, we would like to see quotas, you know, tariffs introduced on certain products from Mexico. But what we'd really like is a 232 on these products from the rest of the world, right? What we really think is that food security is national security, and so we'd like you to use this lever, which might provide stronger, more consistent relief and relief from more countries than just Mexico, right? And so I just find that we're in this interesting moment where groups, and not just Southeast Produce, you saw it in a number of places, are looking to say, what is the tool that can provide me the like protection that I want, and how can I kind of shape my request into them?
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.